Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. Yay! Once again, we are here. And we have, I'm Robin Misevich, your regular host here at the cafe. And we have Miss Gloria tonight scooting up to the table. Miss Gloria, how are you this evening?
I am great. Thank you so much. And I'm so happy to be here.
I'm great for you to be here as well. I checked in with Gloria a little earlier today to see if there was any fabulous conversational things she wanted to chat about. And why don't you just go ahead and get started about talking about some of the stuff that you were hearing last night on the BBC.
We were talking about the upcoming change in technology, dealing with a new society. People are looking at the utopia of having technology to help remove our need to work and creating a society in which we get paid a living wage. We're basically doing nothing except letting robots take over for us.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept, huh? You know, and when I got off the phone with you, I thought I would go ahead and see what was kind of going on out there. So there's actually a program that's called Robots for Humanity, and it's basically really driven by a couple guys from Silicon Valley up north here from Riverside, California, and San Diego, where we're talking. And what was really cool about that was they were sharing about the guy's name that it's a TED Talk that happened back in 2013 from Atlanta. And if you go to Robots for Humanity, it's a really great 10-minute presentation with Henry Evans. He's a paraplegic now, and he talks about all these different wonderful things because of robotics and all the different things that we have for technology nowadays. It's giving him mobility and all these things from his wheelchair, and he's to the point now where he can only really, it's similar to Stephen Hawking's, where he basically thinks and just guides everything from his head, from his eyes and a little bit from his head, being able to do things on the internet and being able to email and all the kinds of wonderful things that are happening out there. So it's an interesting paradigm that we have going on here, part of it being, you know, robots taking all of our jobs, quality of life, and even having a life. That's one thing that Henry was talking about with his talk. He said, you know, a couple decades ago with his condition that he had, he said, you know, everybody would have considered him just a vegetable. He wouldn't have been able to communicate with anybody. And then he kind of paused and he said, you know, I probably wouldn't even be here if it hadn't been for just the advances that we've had in technology. One of the cool things he does is he paired up with Chad Jenkins, and the two of them, again, have created Robots for Humanity, and it's really taking them the technology, helping people with just challenges that they've got going on and helping the quality of their life to be better. But Chad brought in a drone situations where he has different drones and stuff that he was showing Henry how just with the technology that he was using, be able to communicate with people on the computer, that he could go ahead and learn how to control a drone. And so you see in the TED Talk of him being able to learn how to control it. And he was having it go around going around his house, going outside, and he could check his vegetable garden. He even had to pick it upstairs, and he was looking at his solar panels, make sure everything like that was operating quite nicely. And by the end of the presentation, they had brought a drone out onto the stage, and 3,000 miles away, he was able to lift it and control it. And he actually used it kind of like a head where he could shake yes and no and be able to kind of communicate through the drone. It was very, very interesting about all those different things. And you were telling me with the BBC stuff that they were really talking about job potentials and how we really have to rethink about the way, you know, with just the basic jobs that are out there, how, you know, all of us need to start gearing ourselves to not losing the job positions and making it to where we'll be working in unison with things like that. So what are the things they were talking about, Gloria?
Well, and it's more about preparing our next generations. It's because, mm-hmm. you know, right now we are in the process of things changing, and there is a period of time, an adjustment period through all changes that are created by technology, whether it be the going from a hand loom to a machine loom or from hand sewing to machine sewing and newspapers. I mean, you went from the manual printing press to the automated printing press, you know, cotton mills. I mean, it you can look at how technology has impacted throughout society over periods of time, and you can get a timeline and you can see a pattern. And the idea is about looking at, they were talking about looking at trends and looking ahead, planning ahead, and not, I mean, I know that it's challenging, and they were saying also, you know, everybody is operating, doing the jobs they know, and it's all about being able to adapt. And one of the questions that was very pertinent that was asked by the interviewer, she said, well, what if we can't adapt quickly enough? And, you know, what if there are those people who can't adapt as quickly as change is happening? And it's just it's kind of like saying, you know, if you're going to compete, they didn't say this, but I'm using this as an example that, you know, if everybody wants to be a basketball player, you know, only certain people are going to be able to do that. They're going to have the agility and the ability to be able to be an effective basketball player. You're going to have people who are better at a particular thing, and that includes being adaptable. And so for people who either don't like change or people who feel that they're not as quick to adapt, becoming more of a trend analyzer to be ahead of the curve so that you don't have to adapt as quickly but can adapt in time and be on top of the wave is really crucial. And so, you know, the idea of being able to gear the next generation is one of the things that we really need to look at while we are being challenged to adapt even to the circumstances as they change now. I mean, you know, when I was talking to somebody the other day, and it occurred to me, you know, that where I grew up and in certain parts of the place I grew up in the United States, they still had party lines. You know, you had dedicated phone lines and you had party lines. We ourselves, we were living in the city and we had dedicated phone lines. Yet relatives that I knew that lived out in the middle of the country still had party lines. And
no,
so,
remind people what a party line is, because some people are like, what the heck is a party line? I don't even know what you're talking about.
I know. It's called 1999, right? Okay. You're going to party like it's 1999. Anyway.
Okay.
And so the idea of being able to not only look backwards, but to look forwards and to pay attention to what's going on. I mean, I went through the era of my parents getting one of the first mobile car phones. You know, this is before cell phones. And, you know, then
the
you
brand.
Had cell phones that came into fashion, and then you saw the age of the payphone kind of dropping away. And it's the same thing, you know, advertising. I mean, everything changes and shifts. The idea is to be on the cusp and to see ahead. And even if you don't experience it, to get planning for it so that you can figure out. And that was the message that they said, was that, you know, looking at what you can provide that a machine cannot. Now, keeping that in mind, I have seen footage of various engineering programs that, and this was years ago in Japan, where they were developing medical assistance, and not ending with MCE, but ANTS, assistance, that would be able to interact with individuals and not only carry on a conversation, but also to administer a form of caring. You have autistic children that they have created robots that will have particular facial features that do not upset them, and that way they can communicate. So they've got so many different projects that they are looking to develop robots that can interact with humans in human quality and provide human qualities. So they were expressing that in the future that you may have, you know, people who are aging who decide that they want to have a robot or some, you know, one that they can depend on to be able to help take care of them, and then you will have other individuals who only want a human who will mm-hmm. be interacting with them. And there's benefits to both. So, you know, the whole goal, I think, of the program that I was listening to was about, you know, getting the message out and sharing the individual who was being interviewed, their discussion. They had just written a book, and I'm sorry I don't have that in front of me. And to be able to just to get the thought out, you know, and so that helps to propel the movement. So whether we accept it or want to reject it, recognizing that it's out there and that it's something that the world is looking towards incorporating and achieving, it's something to consider as far as trend watching and to prepare the next generation to be able to be active in a world that presents for them.
Hey, have you ever heard of the Megatrend books? The Megatrend, there's every year they come out with Megatrend projections of what they feel like. Go ahead.
I've heard of it. At one point, I was doing research with a company I was working for, and they had a book out called Trend Tracking, and that's when I started looking at trends. And I did come across the title of that, but I've never really, you know, read their material.
Yeah, they're put out by Ernst & Young, and I might just look it up online. And they've got they've got the 2015 stuff that they're doing with the megatrends that's shaping the future.
I find that interesting that it's Ernst & Young. They're more of a financial firm.
Yeah. And what I loved about the megatrends when they started out, because I got very familiar with them like in the mid-'80s, and what I really, like I said, I really loved about them was they were always talking about the soft sciences as opposed to the, you know, like technology and stuff, and how the more technical we got, the more the soft things were going to be something that people really needed to have for a balance. And we're seeing that, you know, over and over again, be it in the arts and music and everything else, that people are really striving to have that. And even the industrial arts and things like that, that are really realizing that we need to have those skills so we don't lose them.
And I would agree with that, you know. And so being able, I mean, myself, I really see the need for the human quality to mm-hmm. be able to maintain the human quality. If it goes away, then it goes away, and it's kind of like a lost language. And so, you know, developing a company knowing with, you know, foresight that people may need more humanity, you know, creating something now that starts to promote that is an option. Looking ahead and creating what you might see as being missing or
mm-hmm.
something that needs to be preserved, I think is a definite option.
There's just so many examples that I've seen where, you know, when it comes to a level of feeling, having an experience of things being more soulful, and then robotics can help with that. One example I'm thinking of too is there was an Alzheimer's a care facility, and they had this robot that they dressed up to make it look like a seal. And it was like a baby seal, and they would take it around. So instead of a lot of the patients didn't do good when they would have, like, you know, regular dogs and cats come around for, you know, when it came to, you know, the interaction with other animals and stuff. So they have this robot that acted like a baby seal. It would make the little coo sounds, and it would curl up, and it would respond when you touched it in certain ways. And everybody that interacted with the seal, that they were doing a study and really watched these people, their level of engagement, even though they had Alzheimer's, was just at a different level. So it was very interesting mm-hmm. how it was a robot, but yet it was assisting them in being able to have more of a human experience and not, you know, shutting themselves down so much. So it was interesting.
Well, you know, and that goes, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, the nice thing about the seal is the seal could be with them 24/7, and they didn't have to worry about any kind of, you know, any potty breaks and all that kind of stuff going on,
right,
or having to be fed or anything like that.
Mean,
and it was going to go through its cycles all the time.
You mean it wasn't like the Carol Burnett show where all of the
Bessie Westie
wasn't like a
Bessie Westie where they had to take a break?
Where she'd be in the middle of a song or something, and all of a skit, and all of a sudden the horse would decide that it was time.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, I think about Alzheimer's, there is no time. So it's just like always present with them, interacting with something. It's always something that could really just help to soothe them and be in the moment just like them. So it was a neat thing that they were studying with, and it sounded very successful.
Yeah, and that also speaks to what we were talking about earlier, where, you know, they say that when people are isolated from other people, that it creates a sense of anger, a sense of mental anguish and illness, you know, and it can cause a lot of emotional problems when people isolate themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, whether it's a chosen thing or you're paraplegic and you can't talk anymore, I mean, it's still a form of isolation. So, you know, having these robotic things, it's helping people to be able to utilize technology so they can keep connected to the world and be able to, even though they're not mobile, you know, one thing that was cool too is they showed him where he went ahead and put on like some 3D goggles and had the drone go outside. So he was having a virtual experience of being outdoors. So it wasn't even a matter of just seeing it on the screen.
I have a great idea for a company.
Okay.
You know how you have people who have, they service arcades?
Mm-hmm.
You could have someone who has the robotic animals that goes out to the nursing homes.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a great idea. And, you know, just
you could
think
have
of
a
the,
stable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A stable.
The only thing you have to worry about,
animals.
You know, making sure that, you know, its batteries get changed up here, you know, occasionally when somebody decides to take a nap, you know, you have to make sure that they're fully charged and ready to go.
Speaking of batteries, one of the other things I heard about, they did, and it took a very long time, and they had a taxidermist, and they had an engineer. They created a porcelain that would imitate an elephant tusk, and they embedded a GPS unit in the tusk that was a fake tusk. And they got it integrated into the root of the people who
And so they
were able
didn't know
to
that they had one that was bugged.
They were able to follow it along the smuggler's route. And what they had set up with, and the reason this came up with the battery is because they put a battery in this GPS tracking unit that would transmit, and not only did it transmit, and it will transmit for over a year.
Wow.
They also put a system within the GPS unit where it will relay where it's been from each point it stops, so that when they are able to get transmission, say it goes in and out of receptivity for the person, for the scientist who has the receiving part of this, and it will transmit the information as to the path it's been on since the last time it was received.
Hmm.
And so they have batteries out there that can last for eons.
Well, I'm just wondering about that. You know, when you say that, I think of the Hubble telescope or something like that, you know, when it comes to its sources of energy. I mean, does it use a solar panel? I mean, does it use solar panels on it, or is there certain things that it, how it's, you know, generating, you know, its own momentum to be able to be generating energy? I would think so.
Lovely. Instead of having the dog that sleeps at your feet in the sunlight, it gets recharged, and then it can be active inside. Solar robotic.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, well, you know what, we're going that way. Because, like, I've heard with just mega trends and things like that, where we're going in the future is all the energy for computers and stuff like that. Part of that's going to be connected to things that are organic, so that it automatically has its own energy regenerations that are happening. So when you get to the point of, we're kind of getting into, you know, Data from Star Trek. When it comes to, does it have feelings and is it real? And, you know, when it comes to its energy and all that kinds of stuff, when it's being based on just, you know, a cellular structure. Very, very interesting of getting into the, you know, I'm sure the legalities and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff gets put into the mix when we're getting into stuff like that.
And there's another field. You have the ethics and you have the legal aspects of things that are going to come up. So, you know, starting to specialize in a field that is on a trend process, you can get in on the ground floor and become the expert. Not that I have an interest in doing that part of it.
And you could get into the whole thing with patents and having, you know, that whole section too about, just different things. Same thing with the legal stuff of just creating inventions and things like that and putting that out there. So when you were talking, though, one thing that kind of came up for me was, you know, the new jobs and the new skills and stuff that we're going to have with different things. But also I'm just, with the amount of, because I mean, back in the day it said, oh, we're going to have more computers and life's going to be easier and it's just going to be, you know, less stressful. And it just seems like there's more anxiety and there's more stress than ever. It's very, very interesting about them because they're seeing now that the because of cell phones and computers and all that, we're being challenged to think as fast as a computer. And
we're being challenged what?
To be thinking as fast as a computer, to process as fast as a computer. And that's not the name of the game, you know. The name of the game is to have it assisting us with what we want to do instead of trying to compete with it. We're basically having it to assist us. So it's really interesting.
They had an interview with the gentleman who was one of the chess masters who, when the computer chess game first came out, that they were speaking with, and he was saying, oh, yeah, I had no problem beating the first programs. And they said, well, have you been able to beat any program since then? He said, no.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's really not about thinking faster. It's more about thinking smarter.
Right. Well, just utilizing it in a way, like we're saying with, you know, health, architecture, developing different kinds of things, you know, when you see how to be able to, to take a project or a vision or something that you want to be creating and have those different programs and different aspects of technology that can help you to be able to create it more efficiently and more quickly. What some guy was talking about, being able to create a song nowadays, you know, because everybody can self-publish and you can just literally have it out there. He could write a song, use everything that he has, just software, and be able to have it in real time in about 2 hours. He can write it and have it up on the web in 2 hours.
Nice.
That's amazing. I mean, when you think of people, you know, back in the day when they had to cut a record and get a deal with an agent and go around to all the DJs and get it out on the radio and... Nowadays, you could just be, you know, out there real time. Well, just like videos and things. What we're talking about last week with just all the, you know, comedic ways that they're basically just using, you know, web shows to be able to be using their comedy and having it out there, or they can go anywhere and do everything. It's just very, very cool. And, you know, making it the way they want it and having it being a talking show instead of a talk show. So I think it's very, very exciting. There's a lot of different things that are really allowing people to really follow their dreams and making it that much more easier and that much more on a personal level instead of having it so edited, you know. So I think it's an exciting time, but yet it's a time, like you're saying, a little bit of a challenge to figure out, you know, what would I want that to look like and how can I mold my gifts and talents into something that's shifting with technology. And, you know, the one thing we can count on is change. So,
well, and the other thing you have to remember, the other thing that is another change that comes about from the instant gratification in technology, you know, you were just saying that the having a talk show versus a talking show and that it can be real time. And my immediate reaction is, no, I want it to be perfect. I like editing.
You can edit real time too. I mean, you know, with all the software that's out there now too.
That's another thing that needs to be considered is that, you know, there are people who, when you look at what's necessary, you know, you have to change the need to have perfection as well. It's more about getting it out there and getting it out there now and amending later, which is a lot of the marketing processes and new product development too. It's about first to market and who gets it out there.
Yeah, because I can remember even like 5 years ago, we're having somebody who was a social media, you know, a specialist, which is kind of like, you know, trying to figure out what that would look like. And nowadays, it's just like if you don't have one, you're just slow in the game and not really out there, especially if you've got things you want to be promoting and having it out there. And I think it's really, I think maybe that's one reason why the politics and stuff have changed so much too. I mean, you look with Donald Trump and just all these things that are happening on a political level. You know, we still got another.
I'm sorry,
right,
Donald,
you know,
too.
Yeah, I'm not even going to repeat it. It's like way too much media blitzing on him, that's for sure. Yeah. But it just shows when it comes to all the different ways that people are communicating, how it kind of goes back to that any publicity is good publicity, even if it's bad publicity. It's just really, really amazing. I'm finding over and over again right now, which is interesting too, that a lot of people, some of these stories on the news and stuff like that, these anchors are stopping and they're going, is this really newsworthy? Is this really something we need to be talking about? And a lot of it's just gossip-driven.
It's about time.
Yeah, it's just gossip-driven. You know, I've had a couple different, I think in the last two or three days, people have stopped and looked at each other and go, is this really something that's newsworthy that we should have on the news? Well, I don't think so.
And plus it's also something that, you know, people look at and should consider. Is this really valuable in my frame of reference? Do I really need to know this? Is it pertinent to my life? And how important really is this? Am I wasting my time and my memory space on seeing those?
Mm-hmm. It's funny. You're using memory space like a computer. That's interesting how you use
Well,
that.
And it is. Because, people will always make the comment, and it's more of a, I think it's more of a, placating themselves and kind of a defeatist attitude when they go, oh, I'm just getting older, and we've had this conversation. And the idea of saying, oh, I'm just so forgetful, it's the age thing. Well, excuse me, how much knowledge, how many things have we experienced that we have stored in the computer memory files within our brain compared to other people who haven't?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when people look in their tickler file within their memory and they look for those little shortcuts that will then take them synaptically into that file that has the details of the information that's so deep in the filing system because there's so much more current on top of it, do I really want to put this crap that is not pertinent to my life and has no impact or value in the world into my brain? I don't think so.
Well, and the other thing about that, too, is just, like, really looking at this, you know, what is cutting edge? And, I mean, I know a 15-year-old that I'm talking to, and they look at me like, I don't remember that. Wait a minute. They'll stop and have to think, you know, I can think, you know, and I'm, you know, my daughters, anybody, they're like, I'm like, don't ask me. I don't remember. Thinking, I'm like, oh, well, you know, isn't that something an older person would say? I don't think so. I think it's, like you're saying, so much media, so much information that, you know, your brain just shuts off after a certain amount of time. But we talked about that a few shows ago, about a study that they've done that if you on a phone call and you hang up, it takes you literally about 5 to 10 minutes to recalibrate yourself. So those times of the day when you just stop and do nothing for, like, just a few minutes a day, just, like, you know, take that little time out for yourself and allow yourself to just have some downtime. Because if you're constantly taking in media, oh, my gosh, you just go nuts, I'm sure. It is stressful, and it is causing a lot of anxiety, and way more so depending on what you're looking at, because it's definitely something that's going to be affecting you when it comes to all that stuff. So it's very, very interesting.
Just now when you said about the brain shutting down, it triggered the phrase that they use about selective hearing in a marriage.
Yes.
You get to a point where it doesn't matter, just dribble on.
And if we had a robot, our little, you know, our sidekick, it would be, you know, taking in everything. We could just say,
oh, my gosh, and then it could record it digitally and play it back, and then it could blackmail you. Oh, no.
Or you tell them to delete those files. Well, you know, I think back in the Jetsons.
Oh, yeah.
I really gave myself there. Well, the Jetsons,
that.
They had Rosie. They had Rosie the robot, and she was there doing everything for everybody. Yeah. And she was kind of feisty to begin with.
And then we're going to have hackers hacking into the robots and have all of our personal information that then want to blackmail us. Oh, my gosh. It's just, I love I love the soap opera aspect of this. Looking at risk management processes and creating this film noir in my mind for a trend process is just so much fun.
Well, and that turns into whole robot etiquette. There's a robot etiquette in dealing with technology and how you'll be interacting with the personalities of your robots. Yeah, robot etiquette.
I love that phrase. That's a perfect phrase.
There you go. Really go.
It's the title of a new book.
Robot etiquette. There we go. I'm
robot
sure it's probably
etiquette.
Out there. Yeah. And just remind everybody, you know, we're a lot of this information, we're going to go ahead and have it on the site. Well, I want to thank Andy ahead of time, my husband. He does a really great job pulling all that stuff together. We will have a connection, too, with the YouTube, with the TED Talk on Robots for Humanity. It's a great, great presentation and just shows all the possibilities of different things that are out there. So, you know, be thinking about how you might be the next person to be, you know, starting your classes for robot etiquette. It's just very, very exciting. And, you know, with the robot cafe, with our cafe, I'm sure we're going to have waiters and waitresses coming out and serving us the latest, greatest meal. So that's all good, too. So we thank you for joining us, Ms. Gloria. Yeah. And I really want to encourage everybody, any comments, questions, any kind of ideas for shows, we love to hear from you. And as an all over the world, we thank you for joining in as well. So we will see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.